Good morning. Let's pray. If we could go back, stand up again, and let's pray to God. O Lord, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let me see. The title would be Thy Kingdom Came. We read here in the Father's, in the Lord's Prayer, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven, in earth as it is in heaven. And at the bottom here, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So I had a discussion with a brother, maybe it was last week, about what is God's kingdom. And I got started thinking, well, it'd be a good thing to study up on and to present in my devotional. As we think about a kingdom, if you think about a worldly kingdom, it's a political area or territorial unit ruled by a sovereign. But also, it was interesting in this dictionary also, it said the eternal spiritual sovereignty of God or Christ. So that was recognized in the dictionary too. God's sovereignty. So what is God's kingdom and how does it fit into this world we're living in? We live here in the United States and we're ruled by a president, Congress, Senate, and it's a established structure. But what about God's kingdom, and how does that fit into this whole big picture where we're at? And who are we citizens for? We're born in this country, and we're automatically made citizens. But God desires a little bit more than that from us, to say we're citizens of the United States, we're citizens of anywhere else in the world. He desires something more. In Isaiah 9, that'll be one of the key verses we have. Isaiah 9. Verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. So we realize in this kingdom that Jesus is on the throne. And actually the government is on his shoulders. And I had to think of that. What does that mean that the government is on his shoulders? And that means that he is the one, he was the leader and he is the king. And even the earthly governments fit into that. Even though they might not bow knee to him, he is control. Who is in office? Who is here? Who is there? He has the whole thing figured out. So we know that he is control. So ultimately, we should be looking to our King Jesus. Because sometimes, very emotional times in a country is when someone is going to be voted into office or put into office or maintain his. And we can see with earthly eyes that this could be a problem. But God has a bigger plan behind all this, and we have to recognize that He's the one that has that plan. So, how do we become a citizen of the kingdom of God? Is it that we're born into it? No, that's not the way it works. But we have to actually recognize His Son as our Savior. He made Jesus the way, the truth, and the life for us. Also, we need to serve Him. I have here, but those that are of the kingdom of God have aligned allegiance with our Creator God. It means we're following His will, not ours. So that's very important. In Daniel 2, I was thinking a little bit for our on prayer night, we have our Bible studies with the older children, and we are going through Daniel right now. So in Daniel 2, it talks about Nebuchadnezzar's vision. And that's verses 31 through 45. And so, I'm not going to read it word for word, but I'm just going to explain what's going on here. So the king was looking for someone to interpret this vision. And Daniel was the man. And the vision in it had a great image. And that image was different types of metals and materials. The head was of gold. The breast and arms, silver. The belly and thighs were brass. Then legs, iron, and the feet, part iron and part clay. And so, but then there was a stone that wasn't cut out by hands. So that stone wasn't something that somebody did. It was the work of God. And so that stone came and it landed at the feet of this image, crushing the feet. The rest of the kingdoms fell down. So each one of these parts represented a kingdom. At the top, of course, was Babylon. Then you had Medes and the Persians and the Greeks. And I think I lost my train of thought as far which one is what. The Romans were the legs of iron. And there's a different interpretation of what the feet are. Some I read were saying it's Antichrist, the kingdom of Antichrist. Some were saying, well, that's a part of the Roman kingdom, the way that it split towards the end. So I don't have an answer for that. But anyways, all these kingdoms crumbled and were like chaff and they blew away. So this one stone grew into a mountain. And it says in verse 44, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. So this is the kingdom we want to be part of. Even the government we live on with time is going to be gone, but we want to be part of this eternal government that Jesus is over. So it says in Isaiah 9:7, talking about eternal government, there shall be no end to this government. But an interesting part is it exists now amongst us. And it's not like other governments. And I'm going to read farther down. It's actually within you. That's what it says in Luke 17. But with the interplay with the other governments of this world is interesting because God is still over us. And so God is not just letting the other governments who rule with force just to do whatever they want. So what is this kingdom of God? Some of this I took from John D. Martin, some interviews, and It's also the kingdom that turned the world upside down. I took some of this information from. So kingdom has its ruler or rulers. So it says in John 18:36, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, and I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. So Jesus recognizing that there is a kingdom, but it's not of this world. And I think the world would look at us and say, that's really fine, but it's a very strange concept. But until we come at Jesus' feet and are below him, I don't think we really truly understand these subjects. Okay, so you have the kingdom, you got the ruler, you have subjects, those that serve the ruler. And they live in obedience to his commands. And Christ asked us to do that. It was in Matthew 4:17, it's called repent, for the kingdom of God is near. And that was Christ. It says in 1 Peter 2:9-11, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of the darkness into this marvelous light. So we are chosen, and we're a royal priesthood, and we are a holy nation. So also, kingdom has a domain, too. It has an area that it's ruled over, and we see in the world. So some of these domains are being tested. You have Ukraine, and Gaza Strip. But this domain of the kingdom of God is not contained by ethnicity, country borders, government mandates. I was talking about earlier, it says Luke 17:20-21, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. So it's not a specific place you can say, this is the kingdom of God, this is the kingdom of God. But we actually have those that have given themselves to Christ and they're scattered around the world. So you have the kingdom of God. I think of my times, churches that we were at before here. The focus of the kingdom of God is after death, heaven. It's some place that you're going to go to. It's some place you're going to be with Jesus. And here it's totally a different concept that we want the kingdom of God to be here. Through us. I struggled with it because it's like the imperfection of this world. Look at all these people killing each other, or look at this hate, or look at different things that different governments stand for. But the kingdom of God is in each one of us. There are also laws in how to live. Laws like, and as I think about the baptisms this morning, that is an ordinance, and you're following Jesus' laws. So you have communion, marriage, feet washing, holy kiss, head covering, anointing with oil. These are ordinances that God has put in, wants us to put into practice. Loving your enemies. Sometimes it goes totally against our nature, doesn't it? Loving our enemies. Loving our brothers. Well, each one of us have that struggle sometimes to love our brothers. I'm talking to myself, too. So it says in Matthew 22:37, so principally, Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord, the God, thy God, with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. So this is probably the greatest commandment that we have from God. And the second one, of course, is love thy neighbor as thyself. And sometimes I see what's going on in the world. If we go by those two commandments, things would be totally different, wouldn't it? So just a challenge for each one of us. I found it as a big challenge. So where is our citizenship and who is our king? Each one of us has to answer that. Sometimes our citizenship is with God, but sometimes we decide we have a divided kingdom and something is a little important on the other side. We want to sort of follow that, but we need to submit totally to our ruler, don't we? And he needs to be on the throne of our hearts. There was a call in Matthew 6:33 to seek ye first the kingdom of God. And this is talking more about your needs, earthly needs. Put God before them and God will supply. I think it goes for life. So there's a call to seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you.